But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This is the Living Waters Broadcast.
In the 19th century, there was a civil war in a certain country. One day, a man by the name of George Wyatt was called to go to the army. He had a wife and six children. But a young man named Richard Pratt offered to go in his place. He was accepted and joined the ranks bearing the name and number of George. Before long, Richard Pratt was killed in action. The authorities of the government later sought again to draft George Wyatt into service. He protested, entering the plea that he had died in the person of Pratt. He insisted that the authorities consult their own records as to the fact of his having died in identification with Richard Pratt, his substitute. Wyatt was therefore exempted beyond the claims of the law, and he did not have to go. During that Civil War, Mr. Wyatt found himself free from the obligation and claims of the law. He would see his friends, neighbors, and other family members being drafted to go to the army and fight, some of which would die and others be severely injured. He was free from the claims of the law, and how wonderful it was for him and for his wife and family. Another had died in his place. When people would talk to him about the war and his not going, he could say, "Another took my place and died for me." My friend, this is a little example to help us understand what Jesus did. When Paul the Apostle understood this, he exclaimed, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." Jesus Christ went to the cross in Paul's place. He took Paul's punishment and was judged and condemned for Paul's sin. Centuries later, a man understood this, and he wrote a hymn about it, and one of the verses of the hymn goes this way: "The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view." What a wonderful thought. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. They are gone. My sins have been judged, and I am now free from condemnation. I have been pardoned. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." My friend, can you say that? Will your sins rise up before you on Judgment Day and condemn you? Or do you now enjoy a full and free pardon? What about those sins that you committed when you were a teenager and nobody else knows about? Just because you committed them years ago doesn't mean that God has forgotten about them. Have you read Revelation 20:12, where we read, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." It gives us a picture of what it's going to be like on Judgment Day. The books will be opened. Our works are recorded there. Our thoughts and attitudes and our sins of omission. Sins of omission are those things we knew we should have done, but we didn't do them. Romans 2:16 mentions that God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. God knows them. We may hide them from others, but they are not hidden God. He will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. A man yesterday told me that he was going to go to heaven by his good deeds. What about his bad deeds? Will his good deeds erase his bad deeds? Can I rob a bank and then tell the judge I'm going to give half the money I robbed to poor people? Will that work? We know it will not work. How many sins did Adam and Eve commit before they were judged? We know the answer. One. In Romans 5:16, we read that the judgment rose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. I read the story one time of a man that broke into someone's house. He didn't do any damage when he entered the house. He stole a camera and $50. He went home and his conscience bothered him so much that the next day he left the camera and the $50 in a bag on the front porch with a note when the people weren't home. The note said that he was sorry. Was that enough? Even though he returned what he had robbed, the police were still looking for him, because it is unlawful to break in. It doesn't matter how many good things he did. He broke the law, and there is a penalty for what he did. When people say that their good works are going to save them, they don't understand the holiness and righteousness of God. God is holy, and the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us clearly that the penalty of sin is death. Whether that is one sin, as in the case of Adam and Eve, or thousands and thousands of sins, as in our case. The books will be opened one day, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. That's the bad news. The wages and penalty of sin is death, eternal death in hell. The good news is that the verse doesn't end that way. The second part of the verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is a gift, not a result of my earning something. It is a gift paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ when he went to the cross to pay for our sins and take our punishment. What is the gift? It is eternal life. There is nothing more precious than that. It is a gift, and that means that it is free. It is unearned, unmerited, and it is for sinners who are guilty. And the Bible says, whosoever will may come. Whosoever means you, and it means me also. A gift is to be received, and we receive it by faith, not by our merit. You can come and receive this gift today just as you are. Recognize your guilt before God, confess your sins to him, and turn from your rebellion and self-trust, and surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it would be in judgment, the judgment day, to have been forgiven and not have my guilt on me and not to be condemned for my sin. My friend, give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ today and go and live the rest of your life in thankfulness to him. Forgiven. What a wonderful thing. Forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Forgiven through the wonderful love of God. Forgiven, and his child I am forever. My friend, can you say that? Come to Jesus today. Surrender your life to him today. The wonderful thing is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. God is holy and God is just, and God cannot pass over sin or wink at sin as though it were not there or as though nothing ever happened. His justice requires satisfaction. His righteousness requires that sin be punished. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation in hell from God. What a terrible thing to be eternally separated from God. But there's a but here in this verse. It doesn't finish this way. but the gift of God. How precious is this but? We hear the wonderful news, but the gift of God is life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend, when you truly understand the bad news, when you truly understand and see that the wages of your sin will mean eternal death and eternal separation from God, when you see that you have broken His law, that God is holy, that God is pure, that God is just in righteousness, when you come face to face with the fact that you are justly condemned because of your sin, when you come face to face with the fact of knowing that I am facing an eternal darkness in hell, an eternal separation from God, then the word but becomes precious to you. But the gift of God. But God in His great love, having sent His Son to a cross to pay our debt, to pay our wages, as it says in the first part of the verse, the wages of sin, the penalty of sin. Jesus came to pay that penalty. Jesus came to pay those wages. Jesus came to suffer on the cross that which I deserved, my punishment for my sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the man that was called to go to the army, having 6 children and a wife, was freed from that obligation because of the young man who loved him and offered to go in his place and died in his place. It's a little example to help us understand the wonderful truth of the one who loved us and gave himself for us, of the one who went to a cross. He didn't deserve to be there. He had done nothing to be there. It was I who deserved to be there. It was my sin that put him there. And my friend, but the gift of God is eternal life. Can you have anything more precious than eternal life? Could you desire to have anything more than eternal life? To pass out of this world, knowing we're all going to die one day, and to pass out into eternity, to be carried by the angels to the very presence of God, having eternal life, knowing I'm going to spend the rest of my eternity in His wonderful presence, a gift which God has provided through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, turn today from your sin. Turn from your own way. Renounce your rebellion. Ask God for forgiveness. Commit your life to Him, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Surrendering your life to Him, knowing that He is the Lord of glory. He is the Savior. And I put my life in His hands by faith. I trust in Him, the ever-living One.
This has been the Living Waters broadcast. If you'd like to reach us, send us an email at spiv6327@bellsouth.net. That's spiv6327@bellsouth.net.